Rhythm and Timing, taught by Sherry Summers. This lesson was recorded specifically for students of the American Accent course. Any reproduction of this audio in any form is strictly prohibited without the permission of AccentOnSpeaking.com.
Hi, and welcome back to class. So far, we have spent a lot of time talking about intonation. We've spent time talking about content words. We've spent time talking about structure words. We talked about how structure words can be reduced into very small sounds, which makes them dip very down low into the intonation, but it also makes them go faster. So this gives English a different kind of timing than you may be aware of. So in this lesson, I'd like to talk a little bit more about rhythm and timing. We haven't done that so much so far. Today I was listening to one of my students. I don't remember exactly what he said, but he said something like, I will go to the store and buy some bread. Something that we've practiced before. But it's pretty good intonation. The verbs go up, the nouns go up. But there's something really interesting and a little bit strange for American English about that kind of sentence. And that is, the timing's different. Every language has its own intonation pattern, and every language also has its own rhythm patterns. So if the intonation is the music, the timing is the same as rhythm in music. So instead of hearing, I will go to the store and buy some bread, American English would be more like, I will go to the store and buy some bread. Okay, the rhythm is quite different in the second example than in the first example. So let's practice a little bit of that, and let's do it through something kind of fun. Let's take a nursery rhyme and go over it for a little bit. A nursery rhyme is a poem or a song that we use for little children. Little children really enjoy nursery rhymes. And the one that I have for you is called Three Blind Mice. You may or may not have already heard of this poem, this nursery rhyme. Doesn't matter. And keep in mind, I realize you're an adult. I'm not trying to insult you by giving you nursery rhymes. But if you really think about it, a nursery rhyme is excellent for learning rhythm because this is how little kids do it. Nursery rhymes are fun for kids because they have rhythm. And it's very fun to examine why they sound so rhythmic. It's not really that different from spoken English, but it's put into a format that we can understand a little bit better. So whether or not you've heard this doesn't matter. I'm going to give you this poem. There's also a song, by the way, but I don't think I'll sing it for you. If you want to hear it, you could probably find it on the internet. So if you look on your handout, you'll see Three Blind Mice. And just listen. Listen to this. Three blind mice. Three blind mice. See how they run. See how they run. They all ran after the farmer's wife, who cut off their tails with the carver's knife. Did you ever see such a sight in your life as three blind mice? It's kind of fun, isn't it? It's actually a little bit gory. I don't know why so many children's stories and nursery rhymes are kind of sad, cutting off mice tails, but it has a very nice rhythm. And by the way, as I mentioned, it can be a song, and we sometimes do this in something called a round, which means that one or two or more people start singing, and one or two lines later, some other people join in from the beginning, and one or two lines later, some other people join in from the beginning. It's kind of fun to do. But we won't be singing this. We're going to simply look at the rhythm of this nursery rhyme. If you know anything about music, and it doesn't matter if you do or not, but if you listen to the rhythm, listen one more time. Three blind mice. Three blind mice. This has a really nice 4-4 rhythm. So, in other words, it's like 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. This has a 4-4 beat. Each line has four beads. Let's go back and find out why. In order to do that, we need to go back and look at the content words. The content words make a huge difference in this. We'll discover why in just a minute. But if you would just take a couple of seconds or minute or whatever and go ahead and turn off the audio, get a pen or pencil, and circle the content words, the nouns, the verbs, the adjectives, and the adverbs. And I'll be waiting for you. So go ahead and do that. Take a look, and then we'll go over them together. Okay, do you have that? Let's take a look. In the first line, we have three blind mice. Three is an adjective. That's a content word. Blind is another adjective. It's a content word. And mice, that's another content word. That's a noun. The second line is the same. The third line, we have see. That's a verb. It's a content word. How, well, that's not a content word. They, that's a pronoun, so that's not a content word. And run, there's a verb, so that's a content word. So far we have three blind mice circled, and in the third line and fourth line we have see and run. In the next line we have they, that's a pronoun, so not a content word. All, well, that takes place of a noun, so we'll look at that in a minute. Ran, that's a verb, but look at the next word, after. After is a preposition, but is there anything interesting going on here? This is not a verb-preposition combination. This is actually a phrasal verb. So what happens here? That's right, we're not going to worry too much about the ran because we have after coming after it, and that's where we're going to stress. The, that's an article, so not a content word. Farmers, that's a noun, so there's a content word. Wife is also a content word. So in this sentence, we have ran after and farmers and wife. In the next line, we have who, not a content word. Cut off, another phrasal verb. There, that's a pronoun, so that's not a content word. Tails, that's a noun, so circle that. With and those are structure words. We don't circle those. Carvers, that's describing knife. So that's a content word. And knife, there's another noun. So we've got cut off, tails, carvers, and knife. In our next line, we have, that's nothing. That doesn't get stressed. Ever, that's not a content word, but we'll come back and talk about that in just a minute. So, did you ever see, see, that's a verb, there's a content word. Such, no, not a content word. Us, not a content word. Sight, yes, that's another noun, that's a content word. In and your, those are structure words. Life, so we have see, sight, and life. And then the very last line, we also have the same as before, three blind mice. The word as is not a content word. Okay, so because this is a poem, we're going to play around with it a little bit. But if you'll look into the boxes below this, you'll see that I've put each sentence into some boxes. And let's take a look at how we've done that. We're separating each box into something that we call a tonal group. Now, what a tonal group is a group of words, and sometimes it's only one word, but it's a group of words that has at least one primary stress. Okay? Every tonal group has one primary stress. And remember, all of our content words have at least one primary stress. If they are one syllable, they have one primary stress, and that's it. If they're two syllables, one of those syllables is going to be a primary stress. Three syllables, one of those syllables will be a primary stress. So every tonal group will have at least one content word or one emphasized word, one word that will be stressed, at least one syllable of the one word that will be stressed. Let's see if we can take care of any confusion here. So we look at the first box. We see three. one content word, one primary stress. It's in its own tonal group. Blind, the same thing. Mice, the same thing. You'll notice the last box. I've put a little X in it. Now remember I said this rhythm has a 4-4 rhythm. So three blind mice. Three blind mice. Notice what I do after I say mice? I give it a little rest. That's a little bit of a break, but it represents a fourth beat. In the third line, we have C. That's a tonal group by itself. How? Now I mentioned that's not a content word, but WH words don't usually get reduced too much. So we're not going to reduce that one. In the next box, however, we have two words. They run. They run. See how they run. Now, this is something that's really interesting. This is what I really want you to pay attention to. The amount of time that I take to say see is the same amount of time that I take to say they run. Each box represents one beat. See how they run. See how they run. It takes me the same amount of time to get to that tonal sound, that sound that is stressed, the sound that goes up. So the fourth line is exactly the same as the third. It's getting a little more interesting once we get to the next line. They all is emphasized in this case. We want to emphasize that all of the mice. And remember, we can emphasize any word we want. It'll change the meaning a little bit. But all of the mice, I'm emphasizing this word all, therefore it becomes stressed. Therefore, it is the one sound that makes the tonal group. So they is squished up together against all. They all. Interesting, huh? And then next we have ran after. Ran after. Ran is not really squished. It's not really made small, but it's very definitely sped up. It's sped up because we're trying to get to that primary sound, af. And since after is a two-syllable word, af is where we hear the highest stress. Ran after. Ran after. They all ran after. We're starting to speed these words up because we need to keep the rhythm. In the next group, we have the farmers. The farmers. Notice how fast I said the. This is exactly why we need to reduce the words. We've got to say them quickly. There's no way we could say a nice the if we need to say it fast. We're trying to get to the far in farmers as quickly as possible. That's why we have to smash the farmers. And then, of course, mers on farmers drops down really quick. And the next tonal group, we have one word, wife. So in each one of these boxes, we have one sound that will be the primary stress. They all ran after the farmer's wife. But even though we have more than one word in a box, the beat stays the same. It means you're going to have to get faster, especially with the structure words. The structure words will go by very quickly. Next we have who cut off. Who cut off? Cut off, that's a phrasal verb. We're going to stress the off. So we've got to rush through who cut off. Who cut off? And then in the next box, their tails. Their tails. Notice how fast the word there is because I'm trying to get to the tone. This is where intonation comes from, by the way. The tone is tails, that high sound. Their tails. Okay, in the next box we have with the. Remember how we reduced the word with down to that with the. I'm trying to get to the sound car. That's where my beat will be. With a carver's knife. With a carver's. Car is where we're going to hear the tone, the strongest sound. And then finally, in the last box, we have knife. Knife, all by itself. It's a content word. It has a lot of stress. Carver's knife. Who cut off their tails with a carver's knife. starting to speed up even more, isn't it? In our next line, we have, did you remember how we combine those words together? We speed them up. We link the two sounds together. We get, did you ever? Now, ever, whenever we use the word ever, I'm trying to say, in your entire life, did you do this? Did you ever go to the Grand Canyon? Did you ever eat this kind of food? So often we emphasize the word ever because we're trying to explain, wow, in your life, did you do that? So ever is not always stressed, but it's very commonly stressed. And we're going to stress it in this poem like this. Did you ever? And then in our next box, we have see. Did you ever see? Now, see is just one word. It can be stretched out a little bit. I don't have to put any other words around it. It's a nice, strong primary stress right there. Did you ever see? And now in the next box, we've got three words. So we've got to make the first two very quick. Such a, such a, such a. So that such goes down into such, such. Put a little schwa in there instead of the U. Such a, such a, such a sight, such a sight. And in our last box, we have two prepositions. So, in your life. Did you ever see such a sight in your life? And then we go back to our original sentence. But we've got to put this little tiny as in front of the three very quickly. Remove the a and put a schwa there. Is three blind mice. So let's try this out together. Let's try it a little bit slower at first because I know it may take a little bit of time for you to catch up to the speed that we need. And if you would, either snap or clap or tap your toe along with me to try to keep this rhythm, try to feel this rhythm. And remember, every time you tap or clap or snap or do whatever it is you're going to do, make sure that when you get to that beat, you should be at the primary stress, at that high tone. So, very slowly, three blind mice. Three blind mice. See how they run. See how they run. They all ran after the farmer's wife, who cut off their tails with a carver's knife. Did you ever see such a sight in your life as three blind mice? Let's try it again. Let's go a little bit faster, okay? Making sure that you're stressing the primary stresses right on the beat. Everything else should be sped up. Everything else should have a faster rhythm. Those are those quarter notes, not the whole notes. The fast notes, not the really long ones. So, one more time. Let's do it with a little bit faster beat like this. Three blind mice. Three blind mice. See how they run. See how they run. They all ran after the farmer's wife, who cut off their tails with a carver's knife. Did you ever see such a sight in your life as three blind mice? All right, good. Now, I would have to say that if you're not used to this kind of rhythm, you may have to go over this many, many times. I don't think two times is enough. But as an example, I think it's pretty good. Go over it as many times as you need to feel comfortable with the rhythm. And don't forget to do something to tap out the beat. Clapping is good, tapping your toe is good, snapping your fingers are good, whatever it takes to tap out the beat. You need to not only say this, it's not just in your head, it's actually in your body too. You've got to kind of feel the rhythm. You've got to feel the difference between the rhythm in what you're currently using and the rhythm that you're trying to get to. It's not just a thinking way, it's a feeling way. So please do something where you're moving your body and speaking at the same time. It's really the only way to get rhythm like this. And as I said, it's probably not going to be just 2 times worth to really feel this. It might be 10 or 20 or 30. So feel free to go back over the poem yourself as many times as it takes. So now that we've talked about three blind mice, this children's nursery rhyme, let's put it into more adult, a more practical application. Let's see how this can translate into something that we might say. Let's look at the tonal groups of a sentence like, cars drive fast. Cars drive fast. Okay, I don't know what kind of sentence this is, but cars is a noun, drive is a verb, fast is an adverb. So, cars drive fast. If you look at the boxes below that, are you able to put the sentence into tonal groups? Cars drive fast. Okay, take a look at the first column. You'll notice that I've put a little X there. Forget the X at the beginning. Start on the second box. Cars drive fast. Where will you find the tonal groups in this sentence? It shouldn't be that hard. Cars drive fast. Okay, listen to the second sentence. The car drives fast. The car drives fast. We still have three tonal groups in this sentence, too. The car drives fast. Can you figure out where they go? In the next sentence, we have, the car can drive fast. The car can drive fast. The car can drive fast. Now, where are the tonal groups here? In the next sentence, I'm going to put a couple of words in the beginning, and that's where that first box comes into play. Listen. He said that the car can drive fast. He said that the car can drive fast. Where are the tonal groups in this sentence? He said that the car can drive fast. And, oh my goodness, look at the length of the last sentence. Listen. He said that the car should have been driven fast. He said that the car should have been driven fast. Where do you hear the tonal groups? Where do you hear the main stress? And even if you don't hear it well, you should be able to figure it out. Put one tonal group in each box. Listen once again. He said that the car should have been driven fast. He said that the car should have been driven fast. Wow, isn't that interesting? We started out with just three words in one sentence. We ended up with 10 words. And all we've done is add one more tonal group, one more beat. That's it? Yes, that's it. That is it. And that is what the problem is for most people. If you speak word by word, in the first sentence, you'll have 3 beats. And in the last sentence, you'll have 10 beats. Now, if I say the last sentence in just 4 beats, and you say the last sentence in 10 beats, I'm going to be finished a lot sooner than you will be. But honestly, this is how North Americans speak. All of those words get smashed down into 4 tonal groups, 4 major stresses. If you look in the boxes below, we can see how it's diagrammed. This is what you should have written. In the first line, we have 3 tonal groups because we have 3 content words. Cars drive fast. Cars drive fast. In the second sentence, we have the car drives fast. Not so different, but we've added the word the in front of car. The is very fast. It's attached to the word car. The car, the car, the car drives fast. Okay, we'll add another word in our next sentence. The car can drive fast. The car can drive fast. Still, I have 3 beats. Still, I have 3 tonal groups. We've added the word can, but can is reduced. Can get smashed into the word drive. Can drive. Can drive. Can is very small. Drive is very big. Can drive. The car can drive fast. The car can drive fast. 1, 2, 3. In the next sentence, we actually add another tonal group because we have the word said. Said is a content word. Said is a verb. So it gives us a new stress. It gives us a new stress syllable. It gives us a new tonal group. So we hear, he said. He said. In the next tonal group, we have the car. Car is still what's stressed. But that and the are structure words. So we've got to speed them up really fast and focus on the word car. So we make that into that, the into the, and we get the. He said that the car, boy, notice that rhythm. It's really speeding up. He said that the car, in the next one, can drive fast. He said that the car can drive fast. What did he say? He said that the car can drive fast, and I am not exaggerating. This is exactly how people speak. He said that the car can drive fast. Okay, now let's take that 10-word sentence and see what we can do with that. This is where people get really confused. We've got a lot of words in here, but we still have only 4 tonal groups. Now, to tell you the truth, because there are a lot of words, it may take me an extra second to say this whole sentence, but it's not going to take me any longer than that because we still keep the same tone. We still keep the same rhythm. We have, he said that the car, we okay on that? He said that the car. Now, this is where it gets very confusing, and we'll practice this more in our next lesson. But we have 3 words together that are called modals. They're structure words. It means that they're not the important words. It means that they're going to be reduced, and it means that the only stress we have there is the word driven. And actually, that's a 2-syllable word, so the stress is on the first syllable, driv. That's where you hear the tone go up. That's where you hear the stress. Everything else would be smashed. That's exactly why you need to reduce those words. You cannot possibly say, should have been. If you say it nice and clear, you'll never be able to get it as fast as it can go. So that's why we've got to reduce them to should have been, should have been. Remember how we reduce the have into sometimes? Should have been. Been is a be verb. So it also gets reduced. Should have been driven. Now, if you can't do it that fast yet, don't worry. We'll work on it more. But listen. Da-da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da-da. Should have been driven. Boy, is that fast. But the word driv, that's still strong. Driven. Should have been driven. Da-da-da-da-da, should have been driven fast. He said that the car should have been driven fast. Okay, my normal sentence? He said that the car should have been driven fast. What did he say? Oh, he said that the car should have been driven fast. Oh, yeah, he said that the car should have been driven fast. I see. He said that the car should have been driven fast. Still, we have 4 beats, we have 4 tonal groups. We have 4 stresses, and that's it. So, before when my student said, I will go to the store and buy some bread, can you see why that doesn't work well? The timing is also essential. It's not just the intonation. The timing is essential. And that's why I wanted you to learn these structure words in their reduced form, so you could see how they go together to make these tone groups. So my revised sentence, I will go to the store to buy some bread. I will go to the store to buy some bread. I will go to the store to buy some bread. Some of those words are very short, very fast. I will go to the store to buy some bread. In fact, how many tones did you hear? How many primary stresses did you hear? I will go to the store to buy some bread. Just four. Go, store, buy, and bread. I will go to the store to buy some bread. Pay attention to people around you. Notice how they're going up and down, but also notice the speed of some of the words. See if you can figure out why they're doing that. You'll notice that they are speeding up the unimportant words. They're stressing the important words. And more specifically, they're stressing the syllable that has the most stress. Sometimes the other syllables don't have a lot of stress. They're really fast, too. Those are the mountains. That's what you're really hearing in English. You're hearing those really high and strong sounds. And this is where it comes from. So please pay attention to everybody around you. It will really help you. Now that you have an insight of what they're doing, this is really good stuff. This is really good information because this is really kind of it. There are a lot of other things that we can talk about now about accent, but if you can understand the intonation and if you can understand the rhythm, your accent's already getting better. So now from this lesson, we'll start to work on these things. We'll start to refine some of these things, make them better, make them a little more polished, start talking about different things such as how to emphasize things and intonation that goes up and intonation that goes down. But basically, now you know a lot. So there's a big difference between knowing it and doing it. First, please listen. Now that you understand, you'll know what they're doing. And then gradually, you'll be doing the same thing too. So I'm glad you were with me in this lesson, and I know your accent is going to be great. So thanks for being with me, and I will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.